I'm Paul Irwin, and welcome to the Prose.com podcast, where we discuss everything translation and interpreting related, including how to get new clients, areas of specialization, technical skills, software localization, machine translation, diversification, and more. Prose.com, helping freelance translators and interpreters succeed. Hi there, Paul here, and welcome to episode 57 of the Prose.com Translation and Interpreting Podcast. Today, I'm talking to Karin McKay about book translation. A fascinating topic coming up in just a second. Now, I think Karin probably doesn't need much of an introduction. She's very recognized, of course, within the industry and has contributed so much over the years. If you'd like to hear more from Karin, find out more about her, then check out episode 17. More related to direct clients, to finding clients, but also that includes some of Karin's story in that episode. So you might want to check out that. That's episode 17. So today I'm just going to jump straight into it with Karin McKay. Karin, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for inviting me to join you.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. Looking forward to talking about book translation today. Fascinating,
yes.
Fascinating topic, very popular topic. So tell us a little bit about how you got started in book translation, please.
Yeah, sure. So I think my start was quite haphazard in the sense that the first book that I ever translated that was now, I don't know, probably 15 years ago, was purely just another translator here in Colorado where I live who had signed a contract with a company called Barron's Educational Series that's known in the U.S. for making test prep study guides. I don't know if that's true worldwide, but that's what they're known for here. And she had signed a contract to translate, of all things, a dictionary about Native Americans that was written in French by a French author who just happens to be passionate about Native American culture. And she wasn't able to do it. And so she just asked me, I'm looking for someone whose name I could pass on to the publisher when I tell them that I'm going to have to back out of this. Would you be interested?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'd never translated a book before, but the topic sounded really interesting. So I said yes. It worked out really well. And I've now translated 6 or 7 nonfiction books, depending on sort of whether you count published, not yet published, things that are excerpts, things that are in the shopping around process. So I found that that I loved it and had both a acumen for an interest in nonfiction book translation. And there you go. But the start was quite haphazard.
Yeah, wonderful. Wonderful. Well, it's something quite sort of perhaps quite obvious, but I don't know what it means in practice. And that is that a book is normally a lot longer, usually a lot longer than a text. So that being the case, I'm sure that's your experience, but you can let us know in a minute. If that is the case, then how does that feel as you go through the translation? Do you go through various stages of sort of getting bored or having enough or breaking it up into sections or doing a little bit every day? Or how do you sort of deal with a project that's that big, Karin?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, so I think that to me, both financially and psychologically, the whole key personally to making book translations work is to negotiate really long deadlines.
Okay.
So I think one of the things that people might be interested in and that we'll certainly talk about in the workshop is how do you make this work financially when pretty much everybody knows that book translation rarely pays as much as commercial translation. And one thing I would say is the book translation work that I do, and I try to, my goal is to translate average like one book a year.
Okay.
And I think the book translation work that I do does not pay as much as my commercial translation work, but neither would I categorize it as sort of a labor of love. I think there are types of book translation that, say, if you're interested in translating poetry or honestly most types of fiction, you think, the rates to translate that are so low, but does it surprise you that the authors themselves are not making a ton of money off that? No. I mean, I always think, like, you know, people sometimes are more surprised than they should be to find out what the income potential of translating things like, you know, poetry or little known fiction by little known authors. They're surprised to find out what the income potential is. But I actually don't think it's that surprising, because does it surprise you that the income potential for writing that kind of thing is not huge? No, it shouldn't. So I think that, to me, nonfiction book translation combines, it's like financially viable. If you negotiate long deadlines such that you're not turning down higher paying work to do that book translation. So, for example, one of the things I'll talk about in the workshop is I would start by asking for at least twice as long as you would for a commercial translation. You know, I would start out by doubling the amount of time that you would ask for. And one thing I think is really, when you were talking about, do you get bored? Does it get tedious? Well, here's a question I would ask any commercial translator, including myself. Even if you find your commercial translation work interesting, which I do, would you read it if you weren't getting paid to translate it? And right, I can tell by your reaction, like most people, even if one of the reasons that you chose your specialization is that you find it interesting or meaningful, like my primary commercial translation specialization is international development, and I find it both interesting and meaningful. But what percent of that work would I do if I weren't getting paid to translate it? Like, I'm not sure if I would say zero, but maybe not zero. But I have definitely translated books where I thought, like, oh my gosh, I stayed up way too late reading that last night because I could not wait to find out what happened. You know, I couldn't wait. You know, I've translated a couple of outdoor adventure biographies and autobiographies where I thought, like, oh my gosh, I'm dying to find out what's going to happen next. So I think that's something to me that is really sort of irreplaceable about book translation is that aspect of it, that a lot of it are is something that would be interesting to read even if you weren't being paid to translate it, which I think the bulk of us would not say about our commercial work, even if we find it interesting and meaningful, which hopefully people do. So
And then in terms of managing your time and managing your workflow, it could be quite nice, because for most people the commercial part is going to be quite variable. So some weeks they may be very busy, other weeks they may only have a couple of hours a day or even a couple of hours a week in some cases. So then if you have that book translation contract, then you would be able to do that to to kind of make your time work, right?
Yeah. And I think that is true, that you can sort of fit it in where you're not doing commercial translation work. And I also think for people who have an economic situation where they could live off book translation, either because they have a very low cost of living, you know, they live in a country where the cost of living is a lot less than the countries they translate for, which, to be honest, is something I would aspire to do someday, you know, go hang out on a beach in Thailand and translate books, that then you're really, really on your own schedule. Because I think, again, with, and I'm not at all trying to like malign commercial translation work. I enjoy it and hope it, hope to keep doing it for a long, long time. But again, like, if you asked a room full of translators, raise your hand if your favorite kind of translation assignment is 2,500 words for tomorrow. Like most of us, it really isn't, but we're in, you know, a lot of us are also in situations where clients need that kind of thing, you know, where clients are asking that kind of thing, where clients are paying well for that type of work. That I think also book translation, if you are in an economic situation where you could do it full time or you could do it for a significant part of your work, really frees you up from that, where you might have some incremental deadlines. But I would say in my book translation work, I've translated for both traditional publishers and self-published authors. And really, it would be rare if you had a deadline more than, I don't know, once a month in my experience.
Yeah.
And really, you're kind of left to your own devices. So I think that's really, really appealing as well. Like, I think the intellectual stimulation will be appealing to almost anyone. Fitting it into your other commercial translation work will be possible for almost anyone. And if you're in a life situation where you could make it work economically, then that gets really, really appealing, because you can be, you know, on your Wi-Fi beach in Indonesia, you know, translating your book for the next 3 months, and really kind of, you know, left to do your thing without a whole lot of oversight until you have an incremental deadline.
Yeah, totally. So that is, it is normally managed on those partial deadlines then.
In my experience, yes. I mean, it would just because I think you're doing so much rewriting and things like that, that it would be really pretty rare that a book translation client would be saying, we want to see what you're producing every week or something like that. That's, yeah, pretty uncommon in my experience.
And at the other extreme, you wouldn't want to deliver 80,000 words to then find out that the client wasn't very happy with what you delivered.
Correct. I mean, one thing I always, always insist on when I do a book translation is a sample that the client reviews in great detail. So I always tell them, you know, the worst situation for you and the worst situation for me is exactly for me to do 50,000 words, 80,000 words that then you end up not being happy with. And so I think it's really important, and we'll talk about that in, you know, how to set your book translation project up for success. It's really important to set up a sort of sample review to know that you and the client are happy with your writing style and the terminology you're using and things like that before you really get going on it.
Brilliant. Okay, well, tell us a little bit more about the workshop. It's on 24th of May at 4 p.m. GMT. It's a 3-hour workshop, and you're going to be talking about the business related parts of book translation mainly.
Right. So this isn't a translation technique class. There are people who are way more qualified than I am to talk about the technique of translating books, which is quite different. I'll touch on that a little bit, but it is quite different than the technique of translating commercial projects. But I think I'm pretty known for my nuts and bolts approach to almost anything. So we're going to talk about basically the workflow, the life cycle of a book translation project, from translation rights, which is an aspect that a lot of people are totally unaware of, that is really how a book translation lives and dies. I mean, I can't tell you how sad it makes me when translators come to me and say, I love this author so much that I have in fact already translated some of their stuff and published it on my website. And I say, you need to take that down. You need to stop reading this email and take that down right now before someone pursues you for a copyright violation. So we'll talk about book translation rights, translating for traditional publishers, self-published authors, and also self-publishing your own book translations, because that's something that I think if you're a frustrated literary translator, there are so many books in the public domain waiting to be translated, and it's so easy to self-publish them that you could do that. And I will say, too, I have seen the book translation process from both sides of the equation, because I also sell the translation rights to the books I've written. And so I've been on that end of it as well, both as a translator and as someone selling the translation rights to my own books. So we'll talk about that. And we'll talk about economic models, things like upfront payments versus royalties, how to find publishers, associations that are good resources. So basically the whole life cycle of a book translation project, so that hopefully at the end, you know how to pursue this immediately if you would like to.
Wonderful. Yeah, it sounds like you've packed absolutely everything in there. Great. So yeah,
hopefully. Brilliant.
And we've priced this workshop at $50. So that's deliberate. We are trying to give the opportunity to as many people as possible. That does not reflect what I think the value of this workshop is. I think it's much, much higher than that. It's a 3-hour workshop. Corinne is going to go into quite a lot of detail. as you can imagine. You also get access to the recording. So if for any reason you aren't able to attend on the day or you don't catch all of it, you can watch it in your own time. And you will also get the certificate of completion.
So that's, yeah, fantastic. I'm really excited. And signups, I think, are going quite well so far. So
yes,
we have a good group signed up. We still have room for you. Come join us.
Brilliant, brilliant. So that's breaking into the book translation market. Check it out at training.pros.com. That's training.pros.com. Corinne, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Bye-bye.
Bye.